have your Bibles, go to John chapter 15. And we're going to read one verse. I guess it's a theme verse. And we're going to just refer to another passage of Scripture later on. I'll spend some time in the introduction. And then we'll move on to a main passage of Scripture. And we'll touch on a few points. I hope to encourage you and just allow you to see God's love in a greater way in order for you in return to love Him. A grandmother once said to her granddaughter, "Hannah, we're going to church tomorrow." And she replied to her grandmother, "I don't want to go to Sunday school. I don't want to go to church." She says, "We're going to learn about God's love." She says, "I've learned enough about God's love." She says, "Well, I've been going to church all my life and learning about God's love. And I haven't learned enough." She said, "Well, maybe you weren't paying attention." The danger in that, we can come to the point of hearing the gospel time and time again, or the stories of the Bible time and time again, is that you think you know it all. And there's a danger in that. We might even open to a passage and you'd say, "Oh, yeah, I know this. I know what he's going to say." You've already lost. In what? You're not allowing God to speak to you. If that's your heart today, I don't know your heart, but please, as common it may be, we can never ever learn enough about God and His love for us. And we can never understand it in its fullness, but we can grow more in love with Him as we allow Him to speak to our hearts. Would you allow Him to do that now? John 15, verse 13. Let's say this together. Ready? Begin. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends." And we know that Jesus Christ laid down His life not only for His friends, but for His enemies. How great of a love that is. God's love for us is amazing. It's beyond this world. It's heavenly. That's why a lot of people can't fathom it, can't understand it. When you learn about God's love, you learn more about who you are and who He is. We look at God's love through His Word and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It's the greatest love ever demonstrated to humanity. Before we take into, you know, a glimpse of God's love this afternoon, I want you to see the misguided views of God's love. There are many people in this world today that have a false impression about God's love. They say, "Well, if God truly loved me, if God truly, truly loved me, then He'll allow me to do what I want. Allow me to be what I want to be. He'll allow me to go where I want to go. If God truly loved me, He would accept my sinful ways and He will allow me to continue to live in them. If God truly loved me, He will allow me to be who I've been born to be." Let me say this to you today. God's love is not based on what we can get from Him or what we think we deserve. God's love is based on the fact of who He is. And He doesn't have to give us anything. You know, Satan used the old same deceivedness in Eve's mind right in the beginning. Deceived her to think that God didn't love her. And that, you know what he's doing today to everyone, not only young people, that God doesn't love you. As a matter of fact, he makes you think that God is holding back from you because He's restricting you as a child of God from doing the things that you want to do. Remember? When God says, "I don't want you to touch that tree. Don't touch it." The devil came back, "Hath God said?" Really? You know, God knows from the day you touch from that tree or you eat from that tree, you should be as gods and you'd know from good and evil. God's holding back on you. On the contrary, He didn't hold back. He loved her How? He gave her freely to eat from every other tree. And the one that he said not to eat from, that was the one that was going to cause trouble and death and anguish and despair. He protected her. But nah, she was deceived. Deceived to think that God was holding back. But in reality, God was loving her. Giving her every other tree that she can eat from would have been better. And protecting her from rebelling against him. And protecting her from biting from that fruit. And then the curse of death now reigning in her body and hence being passed to us. And now death is reigning in us. Every single person has that rebellion attitude before God. Let me say this to you. That's a misguided view. God is not holding back from you. Another misguided view is that so many people think that if God really loved the world, then why does he allow trouble and war and famine and anguish and despair and children to be messed around with and people's feelings to be hurt? If such a loving God loves us the way the Bible says, then why is it? Why is it that he allows all these different things to take place? Well, the Bible's very clear. From within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. The reason why the world is a mess is not because of God, it's because of the heart of man. Out of the heart of man is pride, foolishness, lust, blasphemy. Out of this wicked heart comes trouble. There's trouble in the world and people being messed around and unfortunately some people are being caught in the crossfire. But that's not because God didn't love them. That's because of the sin-cursed world we live in today. You say, well, still don't understand it. Still don't see it. We can't misunderstand it. We need to understand it. And I want to give you an illustration. Let's just say you heard about a guy on the news and he had just simply run over a little child. It was a school zone and he was going 100 on a 40 zone. And he ran over that little child and you heard about it on the news. Would you be devastated? Would you be shocked? Would you be saying how foolish that man was only if he obeyed the government? Or would you say, oh, you stupid government, why did you allow this to happen? No, you wouldn't do that. Because it's not the government's fault. As a matter of fact, the government is the one that puts warnings and signs to protect these little children. But it's mankind that breaks the law that causes trouble. That's the problem. It's not God. It's man. We're the one with the problem. We're the one that causes trouble, breaks rules. And you know what? When the 40 zone comes, we complain about them. We're messed up. We're the one that's misguided. His love is perfect. His love is true, unfailing, and it's because of sin that entered into the world and death by sin that's caused the problems in our world today. That's the reality. But I want you to see God's love. In its mess, in our condition, the Bible says in our text, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. God demonstrated his love for us. He laid down his life for us. He came from heaven's glory, was born of a virgin. He came and he was rich and he became poor. He wasn't a king, but he became a servant. Why? That through his poverty, you may be rich. God became a man to go on a cross, to die for the sins of the world. Now that's love. That God will become a man. And that will suffer and go through all the trouble and the pain and the rejection and the humiliation and will be dressed with his blood on that cross for us, for our sin. It was not only the nails that held him on the cross, but it was his love for us. It was amazing for me to learn just yesterday that in sign language, I said, "How do you say Jesus?" And then the lady said, "This is how you say Jesus." Meaning the piercing of his hands. I said, wow. What an expression of those scars. No greater love we see God demonstrating for humanity. Dying on the cross for our sins. Laying down his life for us. For God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's you, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No talking. Please. It's not time to talk. This is serious. Because this is something that you could miss and continue to ask the questions of life. Please don't talk. He laid down his life. The greatest love we see was on the cross of Calvary. No one ever demonstrated that love but God. He would lay it down not only for his friends, but for his enemy. He laid down his life for another. I want you to see some questions here to help you see God's love. Question number one. Was God obligated to give us an opportunity to experience life? No. But he did it. So why? Because God loves you. Was God expected to provide food for us to enjoy? No. But he did. You say, why? Because God loves you. By the way, taste buds to go along with those food. Amen? Imagine we had no taste buds. Everything would be bland. Doesn't really matter if you'd eat an apple or orange. It'd be tasting the same. Nothing. But he gave you taste buds because he loves you. He wants you to enjoy the things that God has given us. Was God required to have a desire, a great desire to have a relationship with us? No. And you know what? That tops it. That tops it above all. That God died to bring back fellowship that was broken because of sin. He wants a relationship with you. Who are we? The psalmist says. Job says it. Who are we? That you are mindful of us. I mean, honestly, here today, do you have anything that you could offer God? God has it all. But he found pleasure in creating you for a relationship. He loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to show you the way of life. And that way is found through Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And abundant joy and an abundant life is found through Christ alone. I hope you can grasp that here today if you haven't already. Was God obligated or compelled to lay down his life and die in our place? No, he didn't. He wasn't. You say, why did he do it? Because God loves you. Absolutely. He laid down his life for you. He took your place on that cross. He was paying for your debt. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And God has given you a gift today if you don't have it. And that's eternal life through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Was God obligated to do that? Compelled? No. But what motivated him, what compelled him, is the simple fact that he loves you unconditionally. Did God have to freely give us all things, including a home in heaven with him? No, but he did it because he loves us with an everlasting love. Now, the question is, how will you respond to this love? What will you do? Many have responded and have come down and asked God to save them from their sin and restore them to God again. That's great. And if you've done that, how are you going to respond in serving him? How are you going to respond in making a difference in this world? It's a shame for the Christians that want to His love, but don't want to spread His love around. They want a ticket from heaven. Hope that's not your attitude here today. That you'd take God's grace for granted and His love for granted, that you'd say, I'm free from the penalty of sin, but you won't live for sinners. No greater love. And God's demonstrated that love, that we love like Him, and that's losing your life for others. The way you can do that is going about telling people about His love. I want you to see a person in the Bible that continually, time and time again, convicts me of her love that she had for the Lord. And yes, she's a she. Many a times we talk about the great men of the Bible and what they did and what God did with them. But I want you to see this woman and her affection that can put many to shame, and did that day in the day of Christ. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. That was just the introduction. Luke chapter 7, beginning from verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, which is Jesus, that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of anointment, and stood at his feet and beheld behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the anointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love, note it, him most? Simon answered it and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she what? Loved much. Can we say that together? For she loved much. But to whom little was forgiven, the same loveth little. I really believe with all my heart, every single one of us in this room here today has been forgiven much. You say, oh, not really. I was brought up in a Christian home. I didn't become one of these prostitutes or drug addicts. Now you've been a Simon. Religious. I mean, I'm not that bad of a sinner. That's the sinner. By the way, that was her name. They called her a sinner. What about you, Simon? Who are you? I'm the cream of the crop. Why did you have Jesus come to your house? What is it that you wanted him to do? Did you want to see that he was a prophet and you wanted to show off amongst your other religious friends and say, hey, guess what? I had Jesus over. What was it? Or was it the time like Nicodemus wanted to know more? How to be born again? Truth of the matter is, the Pharisee or the religious person, the most religious person perhaps in the Bible found was Paul the Apostle. Remember him? You can go down to the list. Kept the Bible to the T. But then in another passage he says, I was the chief of sinners. Wow. Her response was magnificent compared to Simon. Why? Because Simon didn't really see himself to be a sinner. As a matter of fact, he saw himself to be a really good person. And friend, when you see yourself really to be a good person, and when you compare yourself with inmates or people that have gone in the heart of sin, by the way, if you've been saved young, praise God that God protected you and saved you from the filth. But many of you today are wondering, how does it taste like? Many would say, oh, I just want to go taste a little so I can have a testimony like his. That's foolish. That will never work. That's the wrong motive. You have a testimony. God has saved you from the filth and the disgust. You not haven't only been forgiven, but you have been protected. Some of you are still holding your purity. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing that is. That's why I believe Jesus Christ went to the heart of the matter. He said, even if you think it, even if you have it in your thoughts, you've committed adultery. Even if you hate your brother in your heart, you've committed murder. Because God knows we're all capable of doing it. But thank God for the home and the Christian home and the protection of family and pastors and parents that love their children that say, I don't want you to go there because I don't want you to mess up your life. Thank God for that. But you're still a sinner if you're being protected from that. And you owe him much. And you've been saved much and forgiven much. You just got to see him on the cross, how he died for the world. You're included in that world. There's no measuring here. Don't measure your sins. Don't compare yourselves amongst yourselves. See yourself for who you are and what your sin did to him. Put him on the cross. How did she respond? In a very sacrificial way. They say that the anointment which she poured upon him would have been about maybe 1 year, about wage. Wow. Imagine working for 1 year. Some of you earn, 60,000, 40,000, 30,000 just in one hit. In another passage of scripture, it was done the same way, and Judas was there and he saw it and he was just shaking a little. That could be given to the poor. And Jesus says, let her alone. If she wants to give a sacrificial gift and she wants to go the hard yard, shh. And by the way, let me say this to you today. If you want to love Jesus and you want to go the hard yard and you want to be sold out, done and dusted, and you're afraid of what your carnal Christian may say, you'll just hear it someday. Jesus saying to that person, leave him alone. Shh. By the way, if you're here carnal, you don't want to love the Lord, maybe one day you will, leave him alone. Admit that you're not really wanting to do what God wants you to do now, but maybe there'll be a time, maybe it'll be today, but if they want to do it, leave him alone. Leave him alone. If you want to love the Lord and you want to be done and dusted with the world, praise God for that. And by the way, when you make that decision, doesn't mean that we're better than anyone else. Just, I want to have my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. I just want to live for the Lord. Anything wrong with that? No. I think if I start making decisions and start, you know, doing some things that will prove that, then my friends will think, oh, I'm better than them. Don't worry about that. It will pass. God will help you through it. Believe me. As long as you keep your heart right and you say, God, I don't want to be better than anyone. I just want to fall in love with you. It's wonderful. Don't let anyone come between you and the Lord. I heard a man about, C.H. Spurgeon told a story about a man that was a Christian. He said to another man, are you a Christian? He goes, certainly, sir, I am a Christian. He goes, well, if you're a Christian, you would be part of a local church, serving in that church. That church will be your home and you'll be involved. He goes, certainly not. The thief on the cross He didn't go to a local church and serve in a church and he went to heaven. The man looked at him very strangely and he said, well, I'm sure that now that you're saved and you made a decision, you want to be biblically baptized and you want to follow the Lord in that. And he goes, certainly not. No. The faith in the cross, he wasn't baptized and he went to heaven. Yes, very troubled. He said, sir, I can just want to say, what do you do for the cause of Christ? A sacrificial gift perhaps? Do you give to the cause of Christ and getting the gospel out? He looked at him and he said, the faith in the cross. He began to be troubled. He said, sir, it seems to me that you have an intimate relationship with this dying thief, and that's the only portion of scripture that you seem to be referring to. The difference between him and you is that he's a dying thief and you're a living one. How many Christians here today are living Christians, but they're thieves because they're not giving their body as a living sacrifice to God? You say, how do I do that? Look at his love. Look at the cross. I reckon, even if God, if you're falling with in love with God and it's been 10 years, I reckon there could be a time in your life where you're stagnant, flop. Why? Because you see where God's brought you and you think, I'm doing pretty good. That's a danger too. A danger in my life. What do you do? Oh, Lord, I want to continue falling in love with you, and I can see the last couple of months I haven't been really doing that. I want to maintain a relationship with you. Could you help me? And you know what he says? Look at the cross. Look what the love that he demonstrated, how he loved you. This is the reason why we have the Lord's table. Why? So we remember what he's done for us. It's wonderful. And not only that, but she not only showed a sacrificial service, but a sacred worship. She was on her knees. It was amazing. On her knees. Get on your knees before the Lord. Not only have him as your Savior, but have him as your Lord, for that's what he is. Many people today, many Christians, they want Jesus as their Savior, but not Lord. That's terrible. Get on your knees. Make him the Lord of your life. And then we see an extraordinary affection. Go to verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Simon, she loved me so much that in comparison, you didn't even give me water when I first walked in. That was the custom. Remember, Jesus washed their feet. Because of the sandals and the dust and the different things that will take place. At the time, the custom was they'd go in and they'd wash their feet. And Jesus demonstrated the greatest servanthood ever, the leadership, on going down to wash his disciples' feet. By the way, he didn't even give him a bowl of water and say, here, wash your own feet. He didn't even have that. Why? Because Simon was too wrapped up within himself. He didn't see who was in front of him. No affection. This woman, crying, and with her tears washed my feet. Wow. Amazing. Conviction in my life. Every time I go past this passage and I go through it, I think, wow. Talking about someone in love with the Savior. Oh, I look at that life and I say, I want to love like that. He gave me no kiss. No affection, no praise, no thank you, Lord, no nothing. How many times Christians live with an ungrateful attitude in life? And even if they do go to prayer, it's always, I want this and I want that and bless me this and bless me that. But there's never a time of thank you, Lord, thank you. Even if you didn't give me anything from here on in, what you did on the cross was enough. I'm just in love with you. The giver. We see the extraordinary affection. Wow. Can you hear it? You say, hear what? Let's pretend you're in that room. Can you hear it? She didn't stop. Wow. Kissing his feet. You know what's so amazing? That God allowed her to do what he did, what she did. Even Simon couldn't believe it. If this man was a prophet, he would know and understand. She's a sinner touching him. Oh! Because the Pharisees thought they were too good. But God's never too good. That's his love. That's who he is. He doesn't show that he's too good for us, even though he is above all. He doesn't show that attitude of rejection. But God allows you to touch him. Speak to him. Open the word. Wow. But it's neglected. We don't do it. Well, we don't do it as often that we should, and we don't take full opportunity. Why? Do you see how much you're forgiven? Do you see how much he loved you? Because when you see how much he loves you, my friend, then you'll be able to love him in return. When you lose sight of his love, you've lost sight. Heard about a little mother that had her daughter on her lap one day, and she had these gloves that she was wearing. And her daughter said, "Ma, show me your hands." Reluctantly, she didn't want to, but she eventually showed her hands. And her daughter said, "Oh, put the gloves back on. I don't want to see it. Put them back on." They were burnt and shriveled and old. She said, "Ma, what happened to your hands?" She told her the story about when she was a little girl. There was a fire in her room and her bed was on fire. And as she went, without even thinking, she grabbed her little girl and in the process had her hands burn. The little girl looked at her and grabbed her hand and took the glove off. She grabbed her hand and the shriveled hands that are burnt, she put on her face and she said, "Oh, Ma, beautiful hands, wonderful, what wonderful hands." She began to kiss her hands. Became beauty because she saw the love behind it and the sacrifice, laying down her life. And when you see the sacrifice that God, your Creator, went through, and you look at that cross and you don't take it for granted, and you say, "Well, yes, what a gift. It was precious, but friend, I'm telling you, it was expensive. And he did it so you don't have to go to hell and die. And he did it so you can have peace again. And he did it so you can have a new life in Christ and purpose and hope. He did it so you don't destroy your life again. He loves you so much. He wants the best for your life." And then when you see it, and you say, "I don't deserve it. But I sure need it. I've never experienced this love before. And I sure want it." You can embrace him and say, "God, thank you. I can see that great love. And I want to thank you. I've got nothing to give, but I sure just got this body. And I sure got these hands. I sure got this voice. And I want to use it for you." You say, "Does that mean including posting up things about the Lord on your Facebook, if you have one?" Absolutely. If you have a Facebook, why don't you post it about the one that loved you instead of posting about you? We need to stop being in love with ourselves and start loving him. So how do you do that? Look at the cross. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be able to see his love for you, and in return, you're able to love much. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you a moment to think about that right now. Please no one walk out. Have to do something. Hold it for a moment. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you a question here today. You say, do you know for sure, 100%, without a shadow of a doubt, do you know for sure that if you die, you'd go to heaven? You say, I don't know. I said probably a sinner's prayer sometime, but I don't have my assurance. And I don't have no joy. And I sure want it today. Anyone like that? You say, please pray for me. You can slip up a hand and slip it back down. Anyone like that? So I'm doubting. Amen. Anyone else? I'm not really sure. Amen. Please pray for me. Sometime during this meeting or perhaps during the week, I see that hand. I want to make a decision. Amen. See that hand? Amen. I see that hand. I want to make a decision. And I want to settle it. I want my name in heaven. I want to know that my relationship with God has been restored and I want to walk with God. Anyone else? Please pray for me. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. You don't want to be indifferent. You know, the truth of the matter is, he didn't die on that cross for nothing. He died on the cross to save people from their sin so they don't pay for their sin in hell. He doesn't want you to perish. Anyone else? Maybe you're a Christian here today. And you say, I haven't really showed this extraordinary affection to the Lord. I haven't really loved him much, but I want to. If that's your heart's desire right now, I'm not going to say lift up your hand, but what I'm going to say is would you bow your head and heart, kneel down, stand up, I don't know what you want to do, do whatever, but say, Lord, I'm coming to you right now, and I want to start a beginning, or I want to refresh, I want to rededicate, whatever. I haven't loved you like I should. I haven't given you the time that I should. I rush my devotions. I get nothing from them. They're dry. I'm more interested in other things, sport, that. That's taking my love right now, and I don't want that. I want you to be the love of my life. Maybe that's you today, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. If you in this auditorium, and you've lifted up a hand for salvation, you can either come to me, go to Brother Hustler, go to your pastor, go to your parents, go to someone, and if you're serious, say, I want to be saved. Or, if you're doubting, and perhaps you are, you need assurance, something, counsel, please come and see us. Don't let it go. In a moment, I'm going to get Brother Hustler to come and pray for you, that God will give you the courage and strength and not to delay this decision. If you're a Christian here today and you've made a decision and you've prayed to God in the next few moments for this dedication of falling in love and no mucking around, honestly, nothing's going to compete with God. No sport, no nothing will come on the same level. I'm going to love God more than I do all these other things that are in my life. If that's your heart, and you've made that decision, you're going to make that decision, please tell someone that you made it. Write it in your diary. Write it on your Bible, and don't forget it. For someone here that hasn't made any decisions, I'm going to be praying for you. Fervently this week. Maybe you'll make it by the end of the week, end of the day, I don't know. But please, my friend here today, don't be indifferent about God's love for you. Brother Hustler.